Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another lovely evening of Jaybird watching. We hope you're with us and you're in your post-Vladdy Mania All-Star Game fun, and we're ready to run into the second half. But of course, with me, as always, Adam Corsair, Brendan Panikkar. Fellas, how we doing?
What's the deal?
Pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Riding the high after literally an MVP early vote kind of like thing going on here.
Yeah, it made the early portion of the work week easier to get through, that's for sure.
Yeah. The only thing I feel like I've been suffering, I got those highs from the other night, and now we've been having no baseball for 2 days.
Yep.
So it's like, and next.
Yep.
Although, during Trade Fest the other night, I was able to flip Walker Buehler for Shohei Ohtani in my fantasy baseball league. So there could be worse things going on.
There you go.
Be it offense. I think I won.
Yeah. I think
so. So, on that note, let's talk All-Star Game first in general. You guys were like me, following it, immersing, watching the Blue Jay Twitter go nuts and everything, and enjoying what we've had some good All-Star performances over the years, obviously, and then Vlad having the home run derby and whatnot last year. But in all reality, guys, there hasn't been even a couple RBI guy. I think they said Roberto Alomar was the last one to have this kind of a performance in an All-Star Game. Adam, what do you think? First off, what was your from the all whole collective celebration and everything this past week?
Well, I was obviously anticipating, and I think I'm not alone in this. I was anticipating something along the lines of Ohtani Mania, basically. I was figuring, and I don't think that's necessarily off, that the whole All-Star Game was going to be focused around Ohtani, because I think this is the first time an American League player both batted and pitched. I could be wrong about that, but
I think it was actually first time in an All-Star Game period, because you gotta think they weren't doing All-Star Games and stuff like way back when, like people like Babe Ruth were playing and stuff like that. That was like a 50s thing, I think, is when they started. I did look up when the first All-Star Game was, but there was a good extended amount of time in baseball's history there where there was no All-Star Games.
True. Yeah. And so this is obviously a special event. And, you know, I walked into the home run derby thinking it was either going to be Alonso or Ohtani. I just didn't want to discount Alonso because, you know, obviously. But I am just absolutely shocked. And maybe Blue Jays fans are going to crucify me for this. But I am absolutely shocked that Vladdy walked away with the MVP. And I'm very happy about it, because I just thought it was going to just be given to Ohtani because of the accomplishment of pitching and hitting
at
the same time.
If he managed to get like one hit, it probably would.
If he managed to get a home run.
Yeah.
I was just in shock. And it just proves to the level of, I think, awareness and recognition that Vladdy is getting league-wide, just not just within Blue Jays, you know, fan sphere, it's league wide. He's becoming one of the faces of the MLB. I don't remember a Blue Jays player, maybe Roy Halladay was the last one, to really be a face of the MLB. Not Bautista, not Donaldson. Vladdy's hitting that stratosphere, which is great. So I was enthralled. I was excited. I was happy. And Atkins and Shapiro, give him his extension now. Now.
Ink that. Get Bo right on that, too.
Yes.
So get it all moving. Get it over with. Make it happen. But, yes, that is a great summary as far as everything goes. The environment and everything, and watching him be able to rise above all that stuff, it just shows how good of a game he had, and the fact that watching him have, you know, getting the Vlad dance on in the midst of an All-Star game in prime time, that was what Blue Jays fans were hoping that you would get out of this performance from Vlad, or any of the Blue Jays All-Stars for that matter. And in all reality, Brendan, the Blue Jays basically won the damn game is really what it came down to me.
Yeah. For the first little while, it was Blue Jays 3, National League 0, for the majority of the game. So that was fun. I don't remember any Blue Jays at previous All-Star games contributing that much, like maybe a single or a double here or there from, like, the last 10 years would have primarily been, what, Bautista sprinkled in with some Edwin and Josh Donaldson for a couple of years. But, like, Vlad has the chance to be the face of the All-Star Weekend for years to come. And to be honest, he's probably been the talk of All-Star Weekend and in coverage the last two All-Star games, because obviously there wasn't one last year. He was the talk of the town, even though we lost the home run derby in 2019, because it was like, holy crap, this 19, 20-year-old kid hit 91 home runs in the All-Star or in the home run derby in 2019, and then he was the face of the game this time around. I don't know about you guys. What would you prefer? Would you prefer Vlad be the talk of the Derby or the All-Star game? Because I'm actually riding on much more of a high from him being the talk of the actual game itself compared to the home run Derby.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, you can either be Alonso or you can be Vladdy.
Right. And there's a chance if you're in the home run Derby that you don't play in the All-Star game too. And you don't like, you don't get that if you ride high.
<Be Alonso.
laughs> Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Vlad in 2019 didn't play in the All-Star game either. It was just the Derby. So yeah, it was amazing. And to your point, Adam, about becoming face of baseball, I watched the Fox feed because everybody knows my love of Joe Buck commentating. And he obviously did the game, but I don't remember seeing a Blue Jay get as much camera time just in terms of like the commercials or those fun little things that they film for TV purposes. Like, it was basically Ohtani, Tatis Jr. and Vlad, who were the three that they focused on all of the 2 days. It was awesome.
Yeah. It's really, outside of the Blue Jays, like, you know, special that we had when Vladdy was coming up into Major League Baseball, that has been, there's now a new peak in what Blue Jays coverage has been in Major League Baseball relevance, right? All of a sudden now that he's being brought to the forward, and then they were also in the midst of that talking about Teoscar, Bo Bichette, and Marcus Semien. There was, the Blue Jays offense was on full display in this game, and why we have such a special team was shown 100 billion times over to a couple nations obviously. So
yeah,
but very, very interesting. And I think that some of these things I know have come up since the he's won the MVP, and the fact that he was talking with Teoscar and the rest of his teammates and said, don't worry guys, I'm bringing home an MVP trophy, and then they're like, oh yeah, by the way, don't bother coming home if you don't.
Yep.
Those yep. kind of things. It just shows the core of this team and all that good stuff to what is special brewing in Toronto for many years to come. And like you said, ink that nonsense right now. That's a Tatis thing going ready to happen at this point.
Has
and
to be.
Not to mention,
yeah,
could that have been more fun that they were, what were they chit-chatting with?
Yeah.
With Tatis in the midst of that whole thing.
Yep.
And the fact that you just see the expression on his face and going, oh, right. Yeah. When Vladdy hits that home run.
Right. Didn't they grow up together?
Something like that.
They were friends when they were kids.
There you go.
Yep. During the post game stuff that David Ortiz was actually very talkative about the fact that he obviously had knew Vlad Sr. as long as he has, and the fact that he got to see, you know, little Vlad all those years, and to see him come full forward, and the fact that he was speaking very much to that work ethic that we've been seeing as Blue Jays fans since what was the quote unquote, you know, is he really going to pan out stage, which a lot of us were like, okay, great, whatever, say whatever you want. He'll eventually figure it out. He's turned around and figured it out tenfold over at this point to be, if it wasn't for Shohei Ohtani in the American League, Vlad Jr. is very easily probably the talk of the town going on. So what do you guys think as far as all this kind of stuff with the youth movement being on display in Toronto during this All-Star game? I'll let you continue to run with it, Adam.
I think that when you look at what was displayed there from the Blue Jays side, right, and maybe as much as credit as we give Semien, and rightfully so, I don't know that he's part of that. So when we just isolate Bo and Vlad, because, again, I don't want to exclude any accomplishments by Teoscar either, but I would tend to put the youth movement on, in terms of an All-Star appearance, on Bo and Vlad. It speaks volumes, right? And it shows that in this point in their tenure, this, as young as they are, I mean, Vlad's what, 22? He's the youngest AL MVP ever. He's only 22. Like, think about what's gonna happen for the next decade, right? He's
in his first real All-Star game.
Yeah, he's gonna continue. He's gonna continue to make them. He's gonna continue to be there, and he's gonna continue to get better. Same with Bo. Like, don't just put bench players, quote unquote, for the All-Star game as a write-off. See, he deserves it, and it wouldn't shock me if he ends up earning a starting lineup role in a future All-Star game. It wouldn't surprise me at all. So Blue Jays fans should be very encouraged with what we're seeing and what we have right now. And I know it's really easy to come off an All-Star game high. Done, and I know we're going to transition to that soon. But, you know, while we're here, though, coming off an All-Star game, which was way better than I anticipated it to be, and those jerseys actually looked better with them wearing them than what I saw. And I'm glad they put the Canadian flag on the heart. That was a good touch.
Especially after screwing up the All-Star or the 4th of July thing. I had to do something.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And, you know, I just think it was a good touch. I think it was a really good display. And Blue Jays fans should be proud and excited, at least for the future. Maybe not the immediate future, but at least for the long-term future of these two players in particular. Future looks good. I'm just saying.
We're going to talk Debbie Downer that a little bit at the end, but I think we'll get to that point and bring you back up. Brendan, your thoughts to wrap up this conversation about the All-Star game. I do want to point out really quick, though, that to your point on Bo Bichette, Adam, he has now got officially 162 games in Major League Baseball, basically to close out the first half of the season. And he's batting a mere 300 with 32 home runs, 101 RBIs, 20 stolen bases, and 121 runs scored.
I'm guessing you saw the Blue Jays Twitter account then.
I just saw the tweet.
But it's not what I'm looking at. I just thought it was too good.
I had that up. I thought that's where you were going when you started with that. But no, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, guy. Your turn.
Oh, he's going to be getting his fair share of All-Star vote-ins as well and be in the starting lineup. Maybe not every year, but he's the kind of guy who'll be a perennial All-Star as well. So you're definitely going to have two Blue Jays All-Stars moving forward. I wouldn't be surprised if in a year or two you throw a pitcher in there as well. The next 5 to 7 All-Star games are probably going to be at least 3 Blue Jays, if not more. And that's awesome, considering that there were so many years of just one Blue Jay being Roy Halladay, Jose Bautista, a couple of years when they had, I think there was one year they even had 6 in with Michael Saunders getting that last vote in 2016. So we're getting back to that stage. And the fact that there's 3 Blue Jays in the starting lineup and you heard the Toronto Blue Jays name called 3 times during the intros was just unreal. It's because I can just picture some random sitting there who doesn't pay attention to baseball that much. It's like, wow, the Blue Jays actually have some really damn good players. I wonder how they're doing. And they must be surprised that they're only 45-42. But yeah. John Smoltz said on the broadcast, he's like, this offense is incredible. Just imagine if they had a little bit of pitching. And that's the theme of the second half of the season. Let's see what they can do. So
you trying to reorder my agenda? See, I was trying to steer it toward youth movement so we could go to the draft, but okay, fine. Nuke it to trade talks. I see how you are. So, but anyway, before we get into the trade talks, I know we're going to spend way more time on that, and that's going to probably be a ton of this episode, and I want to be able to focus on that. Let's knock the MLB draft stuff right out of the way here really quick. Because the Blue Jays actually had a sneaky good draft for a team that we had, the 22nd pick? Or something like that.
19.
Okay. So either way, they snuck in and took a guy. Yes, he's going to need Tommy John surgery. And
Gunnar Hoglund.
So, and then picking up Gunnar Hoglund, he was a guy that until he got hurt, they were talking he might have been a top 10 guy. So watching him slip down to pick 19 guys, that's kind of getting in that ballpark where we're hoping to get a good pitcher out of this, where the last few years, obviously, we've been drafting heavy on position players. The position players for the Blue Jays' main lineup is starting to come into fold. So this makes sense that they went that direction with their first-round pick. Brendan, I think it's your turn to go first.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about the MLB draft because it's just not as widely publicized as like the NFL or the NBA where you can read up on prospects like crazy. But yeah, just everything I've read on some of their draft picks from this past few days been awesome. I mean, you're right. They said that Gunnar Hoglund, if he didn't have Tommy John or wasn't going to be injured, would be a top 10 talent. And that was a chance that they just couldn't simply pass up. And they've gotten that correct in the past, this front office, when they've drafted guys with injury problems. The one pick that I'm excited for, just based off of purely social media reaction, is the pick of Irv Carter, the guy from Florida and out of high school, just because he just seems like an awesome, awesome guy. Looks like he has a little bit of, I don't want to say Marcus Stroman in him, but like, just from the pure swag and passion out in the mound, he seems like just the kind of guy that Blue Jays fans would fall in love with should he make it to the major leagues. And he seems like a very easy guy and good guy to root for. But everybody else kept on saying, I think it was either Chad Dallas or Ricky. I'm pretty sure it was their third round pick, Ricky Tiedman, or however you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. That was a name that was really well received by Blue Jays Twitter, and they kept on talking about and sharing things on. So you know what? It was all pitchers except for one outfielder, one position player, and rightfully so. Pitching is how teams win these days in baseball. So I think it was a good draft from everything I've read, and I just wish, I say this every year, I wish that MLB did a better job of promoting the draft like the NFL and the NBA so that we could know a little bit more about these prospects and not have to like go looking through every little corner of the internet to find this stuff out, because in the NFL and NBA, they throw it right in your face. And that's awesome because you can at least know who you're drafting and have a legitimate opinion on it. But I'm happy with how it turned out for sure.
Yeah, because outside of Baseball America, you're really not getting that.
Right.
We were actually, right before you hopped on the call for the show tonight, Adam and I were venting on the fact that there's not like one article that sums up the Blue Jays grading for how well they drafted.
No.
All right, fine. Adam, what do you think of the Blue Jays and how they drafted it? You happy with what we got? Anything that stood out to you?
Yeah, I'm glad that the vast majority, with, as Brendan mentioned, with the exception of one pick, was all pitching. I think that's something that, although we give credit, rightfully so, to the regime for rebuilding the farm system, it's largely been with positional players. That's not to say there haven't been some promising arms here and there, but it's really one of the hardest things to hit on. And if you just draft a plethora of them, you're bound to at least hit one out of these, nine pitchers they drafted. So I think it's prudent that they're trying to build their system in that regard. I was salty about this year's draft, and it's because of last year's, how they limited last year's to 5 rounds. And I remember us talking about it, and I was saying, just do that every year. Like, I understand like farm systems have to get built and you have multi-levels in farm systems to fill up. But the fact that you can just narrow it down to 5 rounds and you can just hone in on players. Like last year, we were amped about Austin Martin, about it. And because he was supposed to be
no baseball.
Yeah. But he was also supposed to be the 1-on-1. Right. And he, I think we were the fifth pick last year, or the fourth.
He fell.
And he fell all the way to us. There was some hype involved.
It was like,
and I'm not saying anything about Gunner right now, but there doesn't seem to be much hype involved in any pick really. And I think the Pirates' first pick was a catcher. And it's already getting like sort of poo-pooed on because it's a catcher in the first round.
How many catchers go?
How many of them succeed?
My they just point become is, managers. Maybe that's they're really thinking that far ahead.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And, you know, like when you look at the NBA draft, it's only 2 rounds, right? And there's a lot of hype involved. And when you look at the NFL draft, I think the first 2 days is what's broadcasted. Everything else is just after picks. So for me, I think there is a disconnect, but at the same time, the reason why I feel like these draft picks aren't hyped is because you're not going to see them for like 3, 4, 5 years, you know, and by then you're going to forget about them unless they're super hyped in the system. So I don't know. Am I happy with the picks? Sure. I mean, they obviously do more. I can't research high school players. I don't know. Sheriff Carter is coming from Calvary Christian High School. Cool. Like, hopefully he's good. Yeah. I don't know.
That's to all. That point, you would mention how long it takes usually for players to come up through the Blue Jays minor league system and eventually become actual Blue Jays. Alek Manoah is one of the ones in the most recent of history to make it that quickly to the majors. Bo Bichette, you know, was 3 years basically in the minor league system. Alek Manoah was 2019, correct?
Yeah.
So,
what
okay,
about Kirk?
Great. Kirk was also, well, no, because I actually saw Kirk back in Bluefield. So that had to have been 3 years ago, 4 years
when
ago.
When did you get drafted?
2018.
It was whatever year we picked up Perdino. He was
international
down there with
free
him.
Agent in 2016.
Right.
There you go. So,
so it took
him
4 years. 4 years.
Yep. So, but that's the average. You know, if you're a good player and you can find a level to stand out at, usually that 4 to 5 year ballpark is a normal development cycle, right? Unless you're playing in an organization where you're, you know, perennial last placers, you know, like the reason we're seeing the guys that are playing on the Orioles right now is they just don't have that depth on the top of the minor league system. And we're getting to start to see guys like Cedric Mullins and whatnot come out in those organizations. But that being said, the Blue Jays obviously are log jammed, and we've already talked about this extensively. And I guess, Adam, more points to you as far as segues go, because, you know, we're going to go and skip right to what Brendan was ready to dive on a minute ago. So, the Blue Jays have had these, you know, where they built up the farm system. We have this, you know, endless seeming play of middle infielders in the midst of our system. What do we do with all this kind of stuff? The Blue Jays are on that cusp right now where they are actually technically in better standing than they were in the 2015 season because they're actually above 500. This isn't a complete sell the farm situation to the point where you're going to just deplete the whole farm system. But there is something there if you make the right moves. This team right now gets much better and actually could make the giant playoff push that we need them to do. We've seen chinks in the armor for the Yankees. The Red Sox have been holding on and still playing great baseball, but we still don't know if that's going to continue with the injuries. I really feel like they're hinging their bet a lot on the fact that they can land Chris Sale healthy and run really well here at the end of July into August. But that's what we're they're hoping on. The Rays are being the Rays. I don't know how they're still doing it. And they're hoping to get Wander Franco. But full out and doing what he does. We got some trade offers that the Blue Jays have been quote-unquote checking out. And let's just start first off with a weird one that caught me really with surprise. Nelson Cruz has been in the Blue Jays minor Twitterverse talking and articles and whatnot. I don't understand this move. Adam, I can see you chomping at the bit to hop on this one, so I'm going to let you just, you know, dive on this whole thing. I love Nelson Cruz, but does he fit this team?
No, but that's not the point.
Tell me how you really feel about it.
It's the point that on Twitter, people were refusing to trade Trent Thornton for Nelson Cruz. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I went to try that into my MLB The Show thing and see what it would do in a franchise. Give me the finger or something like that, because it's like, as far as that goes, it's a gold card versus a guy that's like the commas of the common.
Trent Thornton. I don't even think Trent Thornton is contracted to be on the team next year. I don't even understand.
I think you might actually be right.
He's like, the people are like, he's so young, so much potential. What are you talking about? Where is this potential? Where is this untapped potential? The only way he's going to have untapped potential that's going to bite the Blue Jays in the ass if he's a Tampa Bay Ray. That is the only possible way that Trent Thornton is going to pan out. Look, Nelson Cruz does not have a place on this lineup because I do like the fluidity with DH. I really do. I like how you can, you know, give some certain players off days, like have Bo Bichette not play shortstop, but have him DH and still get his reps in. Same thing with Semien. Same thing with Springer, who probably will need it a little bit more. Same thing with Vladdy. If you're getting a Nelson Cruz, he is your DH, period. And if he's not DHing, he's not playing, period. He's just not playing. There's no room in the outfield for him. Unless, of course, you're trading a Lourdes for him, which I don't really feel comfortable doing anyway.
Give him anything good for a guy that's a rental in that situation.
That's what I'm saying. And a 41-year-old DH, exclusive DH. I don't know that the Blue Jays need more offense. And that's what I'm hearing. Like, we're not we as in this group, but Blue Jays fans are chasing after players that will be like Chris Bryant. Although I would like Chris Bryant because there's a gaping hole at third base. I think the priority right now is pitching. If that means we have to go to the Cubs and get a little bit more and just to take on the expiring contract of Chris Bryant in addition, sure, I'm into that. But I don't think Blue Jays fans nor the organization should be gunning for more for offense. However, if it's like a 2015 kind of thing in which they land someone like Tulo first, not Tulo, but land an offensive player first, you're going to be waiting for that other domino to drop. And if it does,
it's going to be like ding, ding.
if 2015 has taught us anything, pitching wins World Series. If 2020 has taught us anything, pitching wins World Series. Or you could lose a playoff game with pitching, right? Or how you manage it. So
you gentlemen have heard me compare this to the 1995 World Series, which was the Marlins versus the Indians. It was literally full on pitching versus the Manny Ramirez, Albert Bellisms and Kenny Lofton. That lineup was unstoppable. Oh, Jim Thome, just to throw another monster bat in there.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it. That's the kind of thing we're heading toward, to your point.
Yeah. You have to get pitching. So, no, Nelson Cruz does not fit in this team. But if we're trading Trent Thornton, you can fleece the Twins to get Nelson Cruz for Trent Thornton. Every single day of my life, I would make that trade.
Yeah. So on that point, though, do you think the Nelson Cruz thing is that money thing with a Twins possible trade?
for Burrito.
I think the real trick. Yeah, and there you go. I'm gonna let you go with that, Brendan. Seeing you brought up the name.
Yeah. I love Jose Berríos. Any trade to get a starter of Berríos' caliber or whoever it is, Marquez, I'll take on anybody's contract at this point. And that's what they should be doing. They have the financial flexibility to do so and be like, hey, yeah, we'll take all $20 million or $25 million of this guy to get him off the books as long as you give us this guy who we actually want. So, yeah, Adam, to your point, if it is just Trent Thornton, I'm doing that trade like 1,000 times out of 1,000. Like, there's no way I'm saying no, and I'll figure it out later. See how Nelson Cruz gets his at-bats. But, like, and even if it is a part, like, if it is with the ultimate goal of getting Jose Berríos and Cruz has to come with him, we're not saying no to that either, because we just added another incredible bat to the lineup to go along with strengthening the pitching staff. So,
yeah
Berríos and Marquez seem to be the two guys who kind of fit that mold where you can trade and take on a whole bunch of different dead money from teams, or just be like, hey, what contract do you want off the books? As long as it lowers the prospect capital going back to the other team, which it helps. It definitely does. Like, that's how they got Liriano in a way in 2016. They took on all of his money and they only had to give up Drew Hutchison. And it came with two prospects to go with it back to Toronto as well. Yep. And a 3-for-1. So they could get creative. I'm down. I'm absolutely down. But it's hard to imagine where Nelson Cruz fits in right now if there's either not another trade, or why do the trade if it's not to get Berríos?
Correct. And including with the way our outfield is pretty well structured right now, we have obviously George Springer locked up long term. I think we have another year of Randall Grichuk. Is that a correct statement?
Yes.
When did he sign his extension?
2018, I want to say. And it was for 4 years. Yeah.
I wanted to say through 2022 for some reason was what was in my head. Okay, let's just run with the idea that that's it. And then you have Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who's like on the most team-friendly, contract in, baseball history. Mm-hmm. And I know Lourdes hasn't been exactly lighting the world on fire like he was a little bit last year, but the fact that he can do that, and he's been trending in the right direction over the last month and a half, you got that. And now we also are eventually going to have this, wonderful talk, guys, that we're going to have Corey Dickerson back in this equation here, who's another outfielder. So it even becomes more weird as you find in trying to find a place to get Nelson Cruz. But if it's one of the situations there that's Lourdes going back in that trade to get Berríos involved in that, okay, now we're talking, because they're still having three outfielders, and then maybe you put Nelson Cruz in the DH spot, or however that, fallout ends up happening. But right now, I think, to both of your points, Nelson Cruz would be the money equivalent part of this trade, just right, to get his big contract that they were hoping to run into tons of offense like the Twins did last season with Nelson Cruz in that lineup. And obviously, it's not quite panning out for the Twins this season to that same tee. The rest of the guys around those performers have not been quite what they were anticipating. And Josh Donaldson, unfortunately, has not been healthy for them. It's just been a laundry list of issues for the Twins. And to that point, though, Berríos has been having a resurgence, back to his normal self, I think, after a really rocky start to this season. But how much was that him, the Twins, whatever, chalk it up to whatever, as long as he's right now. Or it's one of those situations where he gets in Pete Walker's hands. Great. Give me him. I don't care. And we have the prospect capital, to the other point of this whole money situation, to make anything really happen. So I want to go back to the prospect capital thing here before we go to the obvious Cubs fire sale that's going to be happening, I think, here in the very near future. That prospect capital is known by a certain general manager very heavily, that has a closer that we would be very, very, very interested in. And I am leaning in the direction of the Pittsburgh Pirates and their new GM for this season, Ben Cherington, who used to be the Blue Jays, all this minor league talent. Guess what? He was the director of. So he knows this minor league system for the Blue Jays, unfortunately, probably a little too well for us to be making a trade with him. But in the midst of that, the Blue Jays would be getting a possible piece and Rodriguez in this flip. Adam, what do you think? We need a closer. What you were talking, you want pitching. Is that going to be the one thing that pushes this up over the top, or are you leaning more starting pitching to this?
I'm not necessarily sure that there's that, and this might be controversial. I don't know that there's that much of a need for any more starting pitching. I think the majority of it has been good enough. If Ryu can get back on the horse with as much rest as he's had, put that month of June behind them and bleeding into July, even though July hasn't been too terrible. Have Manoah continue to pitch well. Have Robbie Ray be completely lights out. Who cares about Mats? And Stripling, if he can continue to be good, I think we're okay. And we have arms coming up. Why is this guy's name escaping me?
Thomas Hatch.
Yep, there you go.
Are you reaching really far, or are you going for the guy that's the close one?
I'm saying there's some depth there, and even if things go off the rails, we have Anthony Kay to sort of stabilize things. So in terms of a starting acquisition, I don't know that it's necessary. I wouldn't necessarily be chasing it, but if we can get something within a package, I'm certainly not going to scoff at it. In regards to closing roles, I don't know that that is that much of a need in the same vein as starting pitching. Yeah, Romano hasn't been amazing, and he's been, you know, he's coughed up some here and there. But, I mean, on the whole, I'd like to think he's pretty reliable. It's those middle-tier relievers that I think the Blue Jays need to target. those are the players that have been coughing up leads. Those are the players that have been costing Blue Jays W's. So if we can solidify bullpen role, like long relief, you know, maybe set up men, I think that would do the Blue Jays pretty well. And I don't know that I feel comfortable giving up the prospect capital for a Rodriguez, depending on what it is, because he is pretty cheap and he only has, I'm looking at his salary right now, it's $1.7 million plus two more years of arbitration after that. So that's a lot of control for a decent price. The only way I would do this is that you'd be relegating Romano to a setup role after that, and maybe Dolis to an earlier role. Are we comfortable doing that? Are we feeling like that is a stable bullpen? I'm not really there, because if you don't have a lead, you don't have a need for Rodriguez, right? Or if you're not like close in the game, you don't have a need for Rodriguez. So I think having a stable bullpen setup man is more important than a strong closer at this point.
To that point, though, you're pushing, if you get the guy all the way at the back end, that's the lockdown. You're pushing Romano and everybody back down into those other innings that you were talking about. So, yes and no at the same time. You're worried about giving up too much capital, but to that point, where I was trying to steer this is Ben Cherington might ask for these three guys that are further away versus two lights out prospects, or maybe even a major leaguer in a prospect. You know, to me, there's something to that relationship. It wasn't broken up because Ben Cherington had a problem with our front office or anything like that.
No,
I just think there's going to be something that is a big, that is something that could be beneficial for both organizations, probably more often than a lot of these other things that, you know, we typically see in baseball. But Brendan, I'm gonna let you run with it.
Yeah. I think the question that we got to answer, the three of us, is where would you rather make your biggest trade and give up the most? Would you rather that be for a starter or for a back end type bullpen arm? Because I know they made two crazy trades in 2015 for Tulo and for David Price. I see them only making one of that type of a move this trade deadline for some reason. I don't know if it'll be as big as the 2015 deadline, but close to it for sure. And definitely as exciting, because it really is one or two pieces away. To your point, Adam, I think where you're going with that is they need their versions of LaTroy Hawkins and Mark Lowe at the trade deadline. Yeah. You don't need a sexy bullpen arm, but you need an effective one who can come in
make
six
me hurt.
And a seven. Right. And for those guys, it won't cost much to get your Mark Lowe equivalent or your LaTroy Hawkins equivalent. But at the end of the day, if you would rather, I'm sure there's an equal argument for both sides, whether you want a closer or a number two or number three starter to solidify a potential playoff rotation. I can see an equal argument for giving up a lot of capital for either of those, whichever way you want to go. Personally, I think I'm leaning starter. I'd rather go all out and get a starter because, Ryu is your ace in the top of the rotation right now. Robbie Ray, who's kicking things off tomorrow to start, has been ace-like as well. But after that, there's definitely a drop-off. I mean, Stripling has been really, really good, and he's the perfect fourth starter in a seven playoff series. So you have a gap where your third starter is, because it's not going to be Manoah in the playoffs, I don't think, because they're going to want to manage his innings. And who knows how he does the rest of the year. He's passed the test with flying colors so far, I think. Of course, he's had some hiccups. He's still learning, but he's not going to be in the playoff rotation. And Steven Matz, I think, is another iffy start or two away from potentially losing a spot in the rotation for Thomas Hatch, who got off to a great start in the minors yesterday. I think it was, what, five innings, five strikeouts or something like that. He had a very good start. So, I'd rather do what you're kind of leaning towards there, Adam. Get, like, not a sexy bullpen name, but a good one. A good seventh inning guy, sixth inning guy, and then you have Romano and other guys back there. And Baraki's coming back now, too. So even though we probably shouldn't rely on him to stay healthy for the rest of the year, we can at least hope that he can. So I'm going
to somebody have some innings for a little bit, even, right? Right now, they just need some. Honestly, I think right now a big help with them would be just to have a consistent lefty, even for a bit. Because right now, you're pushing Anthony Kay into that extended role that Thornton was taking, which honestly, he's been doing wonderful. And I think that's a perfect spot for him to really, you know, help this team and further his development, because I still think long-term, he's still a Blue Jays starter at some point. But then Baraki has already kind of been solidified to, we've seen hit the best of Ryan Baraki in a lefty role for the bullpen period. So he comes back and eats up an inning here and there or whatever, until we can get over the hurdle. Great. But back to the trade talk, one of the other guys that they were linked to was Taylor Rogers, and I forgot to mention that with the Minnesota Twins fund. But if they're going to go starting pitching, to me, it comes down to the starting pitcher needs to be a controllable starting pitching. If it's going to be a closer, I think they would be better off going for that rental guy, which is part of the possible Cubs fire sale, right? Because there's just not as much maybe to it that you have to throw into it. And it makes the Cubs happy by getting the payments off the books and just enough prospects back in return. But it's not going to be a top tier guy unless it's packaged funny. So, but that being said, what do you think to that point? Do you think if they get a guy for the bullpen, is it just a 1 year guy? Or, and then if you go for a guy that's going to be helping this rotation, that you see it needing to be a further than just helping this team win right now, with the fact that we don't know if Robbie Ray is coming back. We would hope he is, but he is only on this year. I believe Steven Matz is in that same ballpark, but at this point, depending on what he does really the rest of the season, I'll give you 50-50 if we are happy or sad about that. So, and then I believe Ross Stripling's also in that same boat. So you're talking going into next season with, right now, Ryu and Manoa for this current rotation, and either having to go for free agency and trying to fill that in. So that's where I was trying to steer the conversation. Brendan, what do you think on that whole idea of where that lines up with the Blue Jays' current and future?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with getting a starter with control and paying that cost for that. They do have Stripling for another few years. That's why the cost was Kendall Williams. But you know, to your point, it's absolutely right. Next year, you don't probably, at this point, I don't know if Robbie Ray comes back or not. I don't know if he's loved it here. Well, he's never even pitched a game for the Blue Jays in Toronto before. So I don't want to say, has he loved it here? Has he loved it with the team and the guys he's with? Probably. He seems to fit
in
well.
I hope he chalks that up to he needs to come back, because that's like unfinished business. He needs to pitch a game in Toronto with a Blue Jay uniform on.
Hey, that'd be nice, man. That'd be really, really nice. But yeah, it was, we'll see what happens, because there are two starters that will potentially be out the door next year. But again, that's another year where Hatch, anybody else can come back up. But yeah, you need another guy who can be relied upon, kind of like going into next year with the version of Robbie Ray that we were going into this year with, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I'd rather the controllable starter than the controllable bullpen arm, because we've said it many times on this show, we've seen so many examples, bullpen arms are scary. They can be really dominant 1 year and really, really shit another one. So I'm fine with whether it's Kimbrel as a rental, even though I think they would have Kimbrel for next year too, which is actually kind of nice. I'm fine with a rental in the bullpen for sure.
Adam, we want to pick up and run with that. And if you want to go diving into the Cubs fire sale thing, go right ahead.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So to answer your question, yes, I'm okay with the rental reliever role. And yes, I want a starter with control. Here's why I don't really mind having a rental reliever, and I think this would be the cheaper option. Obviously, you probably don't have to give up a lot. When you look at what you're able to build in an off season, you can fill in those gaps fairly well. Unless you're an elite bullpen pitcher, you're not really chased, and it takes time for you to sign. Even if you are, look at Liam Hendricks. Even if you, it took him a while to get an offer, right? But, you know, that being said, when you look at what this Blue Jays bullpen was supposed to be, you look at Tyler Chatwood, Kirby Yates, David Phelps, Julian Merriweather, Baraki, who's coming back, AJ Cole, Carl Edwards Jr. Like, you had these players that could have been something, and I'm not saying they're going to be lights out, but there was a lot more stability than there is right now, right? And so if we didn't get hit so hard with the injury bug, and I think last year's COVID season had a lot to do with that, stretching out players a little bit awkwardly, this team would be in a different conversation, right? And so when you think about those players, you'd be like, yeah, you could pick those up. You're able to do that. So if you're if you want to be chasing rental relievers, that's fine with me. I don't care about that. But you need starters with control, because as we've mentioned, we only have Ryu, Manoah, and Stripling as surefire starters, barring anything unforeseen for this team. So if you can get a starter with control, go for it. And now moving on to the Cubs, I don't know if you have any players in particular, if you're thinking like Kimbrel right now for a closer role. Sure, if we're going to fill in that closer role, if there's number one closer I want personally is Kimbrel, because he's been there, done it. He's intimidating as fuck. I just like the look.
And I would he's a winner.
Yes. I would assume that would also coincide with the Chris Bryant, just as we've mentioned, just for salary relief. And of course, like getting out of it and, you know, having him. You want to get something for him rather than walking away for nothing, because I don't think he's going to play for the Cubs next year. Sure. I mean, like, I'm looking at his contract. His 2021 contract is about $19.5 million, so you're paying half of that. Whatever. I don't know that you would have to give up a lot of prospect capital for Chris Bryant, but I would assume Kimbrel falls in that category that you'd probably have to give up something substantial, at least one pretty good prospect to the Cubs.
Most of the Cubs trade stuff that's been flying around just in general, not just with the Blue Jays, has been those two kind of married together in a trade.
Yeah.
Kimbrel and Bryant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't see, although we have a fit for Chris Bryant defensively on the squad right now, I'm not sure that I'm in love with it. And I'm not sure that the Blue Jays, I think there would be a lot of fanfare hype around just the name cloud of Chris Bryant coming to the Blue Jays, but I don't know that Chris Bryant is going to be the equivalent to a Tulo coming in and really pushing you to a postseason berth. I think you're going to need to do better than that. And again, if you're going to do better than that, I would like a higher quality starter than acquire Chris Bryant, because again, I think the offense is fine. I don't necessarily think we need much offensively, and we can cover the blemishes offensively at the bottom end of the lineup from a Cavan or from a Santiago Espinal with what's front loaded as it is. Right. So when it comes to the Cubs, I'm not eager to trade with them, but I'm not scoffing at it. It just depends on what's going the other way.
I hear you on that. Brendan, you want to pick up the Cubs ball there?
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to find it right now. I was looking on Twitter to see if I could, but somebody made the comparison. I think it was from May 5th or mid-May with Chris Bryant to Kevin Biggio. And Biggio has actually contributed more F4 to the Blue Jays than Chris Bryant has to the Cubs. That being said,
I saw that. Hold on, let me interject. That's sort of
Crush Monday.
No, it's a misnomer. I was having a discussion about it with Rich. It's because Cavan missed so much time in between.
True. Didn't even think of that. Yeah. Whoever that was.
In the midst of that, though, they're two really similar players right now, because for the Cubs, Bryant's been playing everywhere. And he's been very unselfish in that same manner that Kevin Biggio has been with the Blue Jays. So to that point, maybe that does help this team, at least from that. Okay, well, if they do trade one of their outfielders, you got somebody that can still rotate through the outfield. You got a guy that can play third base. Just saying.
Yeah, it was like half the at-bats that Bryant
right.
had.
Yeah, true. Gotcha. So I understand what that person was trying to do with that tweet, but I didn't even think of that. So good okay. point, Adam. Yeah, no kidding. There is a little bit of that argument is kind of, I understand where you're going with it. But no, I still need somebody with a better glove at third base, because Cavan ain't it. Espinal, lovely utility player, but I think he gets exposed with more at-bats that he gets. He's perfect in the role he's in right now. Kind of like Ezekiel Carrera was perfect for the role he was in 2016.
Right.
A guy who could contribute every so often. I would say, yeah, you can maybe even start two or three times a week and be good. But anything more than that, you play every day, you get exposed and you're not as good. So Espinal, keep him in the role he's in. And outside of that, I mean, that just opens the door. There's a huge need at third base. The name cloud of Bryant, as you said, Adam, would definitely get people excited. I think it would still get me excited, the name cloud alone, but I definitely, my expectations for what he could do would be lower than the excitement over the name cloud, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So I agree. I don't think it'd be as much of a excitement or an impact as Tulo. I don't even know if it comes close to that. Maybe. Maybe like 60 to 75% tops of what Tulo brought in 2015. But yeah, I think you can look elsewhere for third base, yeah, potentially.
Where did Tulo end up falling into the Mount Crushmore lineup? Was he batting second? No, Donaldson was batting
second.
No,
I think he was
fifth. Where was he?
Yeah, fifth, sixth? They had him fifth or sixth. They had him sixth in the playoffs at one point because he wasn't hitting.
Well, just to put this out there, if you do bring Chris Bryant in and we're trying to make that comparison to Troy Tulowinski, this lineup right now, Chris Bryant's going to be batting seventh or sixth.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And with if Lourdes Gurriel Jr. keeps trending in the right direction, I'm sorry to say he's not going to be in the 7-8 spot either for very long.
Right.
I think so he'll be going the other way.
Yeah, I would be my only catch on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for those two. Probably. I think he would be the trade chip as much as I honestly don't want to see that happen, just knowing the fact that Teoscar, Vladdy, and Lourdes are like, you know, that is the gang in the dugout. Yeah, well, and Bouchette's part of that, obviously, too. But he's not like, you know, the three of them are like literally hanging off each other in the locker room. I know it's a win now move, but I also wonder, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is going to be a hell of a baseball player. So it would have to be the right trade to still be losing Lourdes. And yes. I don't know if Craig Kimbrell, Chris Bryant is yelling that at
me. No, somebody made that comparison that you're just alluding to yesterday or 2 days ago on Twitter, saying that could very much disrupt the clubhouse because that's who they FaceTime at the All-Star game, wasn't it? In the ninth inning, at some point during the game, they FaceTimed with Lourdes. And look, I know the 2015 team, Edwin and Jose were really close with Jose Reyes, which was the other point of what the guys were saying. But at the end of the day, I think Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion were much happier after they got to the American League Championship Series and probably weren't even thinking about Jose Reyes. So there you could get over it, but longer term, because that team was nearing the end of its shelf life, that's fine. But this team is just starting its shelf life with how good they can be. And the chemistry that they have in the clubhouse already, that would be a tough sell to mix with, to mess with right now and rip up a little bit. So I'm with you there.
Winning to me, if it was everything.
It's true, though. It is. If they win a World Series at the end of the day, yes.
So I'm going to float another name out here, and I'm honestly surprised he's even possibly a trade chip, which because the Cleveland Indians guys are not exactly out of it with the fact that the White Sox are dropping like flies, as much as I don't want to say it, because I like the White Sox's young core is going in that same mold that the Toronto Blue Jays are. They're building a team the proper way. But Jose Reyes, or Jose Ramirez, sorry, you messing me up with the Jose Reyes thing. So, but Jose Ramirez has been, even since the spring training, you know, he's been out, quote unquote, as far as the Indians trying to continue to be competitive and win and still build a team for the future is really what they're trying to do. They're doing it a lot better than we did, just saying. But to that point, his name comes up in, you know, a rumor here, a rumor there, and has honestly picked up a little bit of Twitter steam in the last couple weeks. Is he more of that win now player if you bring him in play at third base every day? And you, for that trade, I'm assuming you almost guaranteed have to give up Lourdes Gurriel Jr. because that was the quote unquote chip that the Indians were staunch on during the offseason. Are you pulling the trigger on that trade?
No.
No.
No, I don't mean to be cynical, but like, I just don't know. I'm not buying into the notion that Blue Jays are any offensive piece away. They are pitching away. That's it. Like you cannot improve this offensive lineup. There's just no need. You're just piling it on and just replicating 2015 with a worse pitching staff.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hurts.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, there was another name that was kind of floated around with Cleveland, and that was Zach Plesac, I think I saw the other day. If it's Jose Ramirez and Zach Plesac, you kill two birds with one stone and you're good to go. Other than the bullpen, which you can hopefully get somebody else for. But yeah,
you're probably moving Steven Matz to the bullpen because he's probably your worst guy in the rotation.
Yeah, yeah,
right, sure. So that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. He's been good through the lineup once.
Yeah, I'm good with that. But yeah. if it's Lourdes as the main piece going back. I'm assuming a lot of the guys who interested them in the Francisco Lindor deal would be the ones to get it done for Jose Ramirez. And I can't remember if Lourdes was rumored to be a part of that package or not.
Pretty sure he was last season.
Wouldn't be surprised if he was included in that. But at least they've actively engaged in trade talks as recently as this past offseason. So it might be a little easier to get a deal done for Jose Ramirez. And you might be able to avoid giving up Lourdes in that. But if Lourdes is a part of it, yeah, probably not, to Adam's point, unless you're getting a pitcher back in return with that. Like if you get a Plesac in that and Lourdes is one of the biggest pieces going back, sure, sign me up. But if it's just Jose Ramirez, no thanks.
Yeah,
let me ask you guys something.
Ramirez isn't super cheap right now either.
Yeah, let me ask this. All right,
go ahead.
I assume everybody is on the same page that we're fighting for a wild card spot. I don't think there's any hope that the Blue Jays are gonna win the division. I feel like they're too far out of it.
They would need a 2015 run to win the division at this point.
Right. If we're fighting for a wild card spot, who is pitching that one game?
I'm thinking Robbie Ray.
Okay. Do you think that the Blue Jays, there's a pitcher out there, in a starting pitcher out there that has been rumored to be available, that would supplement Robbie Ray in that game?
I don't know if Berríos does it for me. I don't. Marquez might, because he's had a hell of a year.
But still, in my opinion, it's one good year. He's been very up and down through the last three or four.
He has.
I'm saying no.
It's a hard sell on me, because I'm giving you like a 50-50 on that person being the bring-in, like you were saying, to be that lockdown for the next, like, you know, three innings or something like that.
Yep. This is why.
To basically be the Nathan Eovaldi effect.
Yep. This is why I want bullpen. Because we're fighting for a wild card. If, assuming health, Robbie Ray is going to pitch that game, it's do or die at that point. You make the move for a guy then. That is what you're making the move for. Offense is fine. You ride or die with this offense in that wild card game. You ride or die with Robbie Ray during that game. But you can't ride with your bullpen during that game. With how volatile this bullpen has been, say it's a 3-2 game, Blue Jays are winning into the sixth. Yeah. I am not confident.
No.
I'm not confident when Robbie Ray, especially with Robbie Ray third time through the order. If you can avoid that and have bullpen help come in and shut it down, that is what I want. And I just don't see a starting pitcher that's available that's going to take over either Ryu or Robbie Ray in that game. Mm-hmm. You need, yeah, and offense is not, you're not looking for an 11-2 game at that point, even though that's what
that'd be nice.
I mean, that's what the Rays did in game two against us. But still, like, I feel like the bullpen is what is absolutely crucial to win that wild card game. It's given how the Blue Jays have not failed to give up good leads. bullpen. You need a lockdown bullpen.
Yep. I have a trade offer from the Twitterverse and whatnot for us on the message board, fellas, and we're going to put it to a vote. You know, obviously, sure, there's three of us, so we'll have a win here one way or the other. So coming from the Indians, Ramirez and Plesac for what would end up what they were thinking as Gurriel, Groshans, and Pearson.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but I think you got to get another piece from the Indians in that piece if we're giving
you're
up
saying
that.
No?
But no, I think okay. No. There's too much right in that. As much as the fact that right now I would say you're selling as low as you humanly possibly can on Nate Pearson.
I don't believe in him. Sorry.
I know you're ready to ship him. He's going to be the next Trent Thornton, according to you, but don't worry about
I don't think he's going to be the next
Trent Nelson Cruz.
I think he's going to be the next Kyle Drabek. I really do. I'm sorry, guys.
It's Jordan Groshans for me that makes me say no to that one.
Yeah,
I mean, if you have Ramirez for how many more years after that? A year or two?
Yeah, I think it's 2023.
Actually, might be three. Yeah.
So you figure your third base is set at that point.
True.
You wouldn't need Groshans at that point. But to my point, I think you might be able to get that trade done with more of Groshans and like Kevin Smith right now.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Something like that. With the amount of money that's on Ramirez's stuff, if we're eating all that money, I think it was wasn't it 26 or something like that? I can't remember. I had it up a minute ago. I lost it. But, yeah, it's not cheap
per year.
The Indians gave him a pretty good deal right after he had that ridiculous season. And
no, looking at it right now.
It's a very cheap contract for
it. Is cheap.
Okay. Yes. I thought it was closer to that a season. I was like, holy
shit. It's a 4-year, $26 million contract.
Okay. Yeah. So that is actually in the ballpark where we would have to give more up than probably not, because it is team friendly at that point. So he's a hell of a player. I'll give you that. He's one of those guys that's sneaky five tools, because everybody forgets the fact that because he has the home runs, he actually does steal bases. So
yeah, so he has
another igniter in that lineup.
So he'll be a free agent in 2024.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So there
you are going to have to eat something up on that trade and to get that done. So to that point, though, like you said, you're locking down a position with another veteran around all these guys, and he plays solid defense and offense. So I don't know.
It's an all-star.
In the midst of that, yes. I think I find a way to make that trade, but I can't give up all that at the same time to that point. But I would be shocked if the Blue Jays ever make that trade for those two guys. I really think that Loris is going to be in the linchpin for the Indians on that trade, because that's who they were hunting at for the Francisco Lindor trade. And that's why the Blue Jays scoffed at it. And rightfully so, after seeing in hindsight, too, because the Mets are hoping that they get the real Francisco Lindor to push the playoff spot in and lock it in, right? To my shock notice, again, the Washington Nationals are not going down quietly. So it is what it is. But I think if the Blue Jays are going after something, that helps the team more overall, as you're getting two controllable players rather than the Chris Bryant / Kimbrel thing. You can't get much better than Craig Kimbrel right now. But to that volatile point that you mentioned, Brendan, Kimbrel finally found it again.
Yeah.
After a few rough seasons in Chicago. So does the move hurt him? Is he too comfortable? I don't know. To me, I think the playoff juices would get Craig Kimbrel really moving in a Toronto Blue Jay uniform. He ends up joining the team. So to wrap this trade talk on this whole thing, pick me the guy that you would be the most interested in and who we might have to give up to get him.
Ooh, that's a good question.
I'm not saying the whole trade. I'm just thinking, like, I want to get a level of what you think we have to give up to get the guy you want. To me, I'm in the ballpark that I would just love to see Rodriguez come over from Pittsburgh. And I honestly think we're going to have to watch freaking King Kirk or somebody go in that trade and an additional prospect. So I'll start it off for you.
Are we assuming that if we get a closer that, as we talked about, Craig, that Romano and Dolis are going to bump down in terms of a setup, man?
That would be my opinion, correct.
Okay.
I think and that you're getting the trickle-down effect, unless to that point that you all of a sudden have that magic middle reliever that we can't find a name to put to.
Yeah, that's what I'm I think they'll be able to do that. I think Kirk is a good piece to move. I don't think there's going to be any interest in Danny Jansen as much as we'd like to shit on him and then over, not us, but Blue Jays fans like to shit on him, then over inflate his trade value. just because he's been in the majors for a cup of coffee.
Reese McGuire's a sell high right now. Come on.
Yeah, no, what was the play that happened? I remember tweeted out, I'm like, this is the moment that we're going to remember where he lost it. I forget what it was. It was against the Rays. Yeah, it was against the Rays. It was worse than that. He just fucked up. And I was like, this is the moment where we're going to say, that's it. If it's Kirk for Rodriguez straight up, yeah, fine.
I think there's still going to have to be a low-level throw-in to get that done, just because of the control and the goodness that is already established with Rodriguez. But the main piece would be Kirk in that trade, I think. That was okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, if it in that regard, you still have, if you wanted to, you still have Lourdes to make another splash move if you wanted to, or you still have prospect capital to get another reliever that might not be as high profile, but might solidify the pen a little bit. I'm just not sure I'm comfortable with Dolis at all. And I'm not sure if I'm comfortable.
You're in my boat on that one, man.
Yeah, with Romano moving down a peg, because I don't know if that's going to fuck with him. But assuming it doesn't, sure. If that's the only move they make, I can live with it. Sure.
I want to throw this one at you because you just gave me that whole thing with Romano and his intensity and things. What does Craig Kimbrell do for Jordan Romano if he comes into this ring? Is he literally like Brett Laurie-ing and just going nuts?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it'll probably be more like, why am I so bad with names? The dude that we just let go last year punched himself in the face. Traded
over Ken Giles.
Yes. Ken Giles, yeah. It will probably be a little bit more like that, but that's the thing. Like, he's not
cut it with a knife.
Yeah, he's not there to like sort of mentor a Romano because he's here for another couple of years, right?
Yeah, they're just gonna come in and they're gonna try and outdo each other. I honestly wonder how much fun that would be. I'm just that popped into my head like that. And I'm like, shit, we actually got fun to watch.
Sorry, go ahead, Brendan.
All right,
no, all good. I kind of got talked into the Nelson Cruz and Jose Barrios type trade. I'd be fine with that. And figure out what you do with Nelson Cruz later, because I like Barrios so much and he would be that perfect game two starter or game three starter. And then you got a pretty damn good playoff rotation moving forward. Will that be enough to get into the playoffs? No, but that's where you make another minor trade or two to get that middle reliever, kind of like what they just did with Simber and Trevor Richards. Perfect moves at that point in the offseason, and those guys are everywhere. So I don't care who it is, as long as it's a guy having a good season out of the bullpen. Mark Lowe's career went to die after he left the Blue Jays, but the Blue Jays had him for the best stretch of his career. So any middle reliever who's having a good year is a trade target, and they definitely will probably add that. But if you can get Rodriguez for Kirk and another piece, I pull it, because I still think the prospect capital to get Barrios and Cruz wouldn't be enough to make them scared from doing that deal either. So that's where I fall on that.
And not to mention, Barrios is not on the most friendly of deals, but he is going to be a Blue Jay.
Yeah.
For that trade too.
That's the control.
They signed him to like what, 4 or 5 before last year. So we're going to get an extended run of a young, talented pitcher at that point too.
Yeah, he's only 28. I think they haven't.
Was it you and I that were mentioning last year that he might have been the 2020 Cy Young when we were talking beginning of season? Bold predictions for awards and stuff like that, because he had that awesome 2019.
Yeah.
So no, I'm with you. But in the midst of that, like you were saying, I think you're gonna have to give up something pretty decent, but it'll probably be one big guy and a prospect because of all the money involved.
I think so. Maybe even if it's a third lower level guy, that's fine too.
Correct. But at that point you're working for the wild card.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam. You had you got your thinking cap on? You good?
Sure. No, I was gonna say, if we're gonna do the Kirk trade, that's fine. I'm not super horny for closers right now, dude. I need middle relief. And that doesn't seem to be a lot available in that vein.
Is there a way you can attack that inadvertently, like we were talking, by moving a guy from the rotation or something like that that would solidify that for you?
Do we want to? Like, what do we think? Like,
the argument that you might be right already, that we've made those two trades already with Simber and company.
Yeah. Like, I don't know that. Maybe Matts can be okay in a bullpen role. Maybe. I just feel like that would probably piss him off. Or even in Anthony Kay, if you bring him up, and I just think they like to stretch him out and adjust break in case of emergency starter kind of role. Nothing's really jumping out at me. I've been checking out like possible scenarios. I don't know. I guess Danny Duffy might be someone available. He doesn't have any control, but there's something there. I mean, you don't have to spend a lot to get him, and it will help.
He had a really nice season that he's been putting together for Kansas City too, especially that one run they had there that they were actually looking like a legit team for a little bit there. Scared the Blue Jays the one series. So
did they win that point,
there's something there.
Yeah. 3-4.
Yeah.
There you go.
They were on the ball before we ended up taking that.
So I'm also reading that he has a he can veto any trade. He has a clause. No, sorry, it's 5 and 10 rights.
Sorry, who was it?
That's
Danny Duffy.
Oh, Danny Duffy, yeah.
So
this is adding another lefty, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he's able to, if they're able to swing it, and it's probably not going to cost you a lot, that would make me more comfortable in the bullpen, and then you can use these other pieces like a Kirk or a Lourdes to land something a little bit bigger if you really want to solidify your rotation, which I don't think you need to, or if you really want to solidify your defense at third and offense at the place, which I really don't think you need to, but if you want to, The option's there. And I don't think Danny Duffy's going to cost you a lot.
Yeah. So the Twitterverse is saying, why haven't we talked Marquez yet?
It was either him or Berríos, and I went Berríos because Cruz.
Coaxed you into the Berríos talk, huh?
Yeah.
I think that trade would end up looking very similar with the Rockies to get Marquez. Still, yeah. I think you're going to end up getting somebody like that level of Lourdes. He's got control. He's already established major leaguer because the Rockies still have a great minor league system. They're not going to be terribly far off in a rebuild, I think. They're going to want something back normal.
But remember, the Rockies organization has a history of being stupid, so we can probably make them look stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Ian Desmond comes to mind. Just some of the weirdest trades and free agent signings in like San the last Juano. 10 years. Yeah. So maybe they can piece him.
Yeah. So, hey, if that works, that works. But, gentlemen, I don't want to keep everybody that has been off fortunate enough to be listening with us and everything this evening as we're already pushing that hour mark. I want to quickly go over, we're skipping the fact that I'm not going to talk Tropic Terrors that we just had. We're skipping that topic tonight. Let's jump into the preview for the Rangers and the Red Sox series to do the picks to click. So let's just talk who we did the last week here too in the wonderful shortened week that it was. Brendan Panikkar, you had Alek Manoah. Marcus Semien for Mr. Corsair. I picked Randall Grichuk, hoping that he would have his normal Tampa Bay Rays series. And then fellow guest of the show and guest host, actually, last week as a pinch hitter, Chris Key. And he had picked his, you know, Man Crush Monday and Robbie Ray.
Of course.
I think, unfortunately, probably Robbie Ray.
Yeah.
I think so. It might be.
Out of those four is Manoah, Semien, Grichuk, and Ray. And Ray had pretty much the standout pitching performance since our last show. I feel like the easy win.
Actually, I forgot about that because that was the only game I didn't get to watch in that series. So
that's the one I was to. Yeah. And I was, as soon as I saw this line, and I had to go watch it.
Oh, yeah, because I was watching the England game. That's why. So I'm like, holy shit, this guy's throwing a no-hitter right now. So, yeah, it's Robbie Ray for sure.
Six innings of no-hit baseball. Easily the highlight of, like I said, the Terrors at the Trop. And, yeah, so Chris, points to you in the guest spot. There's now two wins total for the guest spot. So just to say, Brendan, they're nipping up on your heels. You are now in third place. And Adam overtook you last week. So he's got four wins on the season. I'm still at six. How the tables have turned.
We also said if you're in need of a quick win, just pick Vladdy.
Just pop it off. It's just that's an easy one, right?
So whoever's in last, just pick, I got the win.
Yeah. Sign me up. I'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, is that what you're doing then?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. I need one. I haven't got one for a little while.
So this is, if you follow the streak you've been doing so far, you've literally had a win and then four losses each time you've won a game. This would be your week, according to that map.
All right. That's good, because that could mean that the Blue Jays get off to a good start after the All-Star break, too. So
riding a high right now with the Blue Jay win of the All-Star game with three runs scored. And, it's good stuff. But, Mr. Corsair, your pick?
Oh, man.
I forget how many games it is against each, but I think there were six games.
Yeah, three Texas and three Red Sox.
Yeah.
Texas will be fun because they should be able to do some substantial damage there.
In Buffalo, too.
I'm going to go Springer. Let's get a rebound from him. Hopefully he's batting leadoff. Let's go Springer.
There could be some changes to that lineup come around with just long enough that maybe it's tinker time and hurry up and see what squeeze out of this lineup. I'm going to go bowl, seeing you guys are all going big or go home.
Yeah.
The big guns. So,
I just think it's funny that actually, I don't know how this lined up, but the last person, the people that we just picked were actually the people that got us each of our last wins.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there you go.
Like I said, Brendan, you had a win 4 weeks ago and you picked Vlad. Springer was your pick 2 weeks ago, Adam, and then I haven't had it. I had a win 3 weeks ago with Bo. So,
wow.
I guess it's good to bet on offense. And Blue Jays fans, hit us up on the Twitter before the game starts tomorrow and get in on yours, and we'll give you a shout out if you are one of the pick the click wins, and you'll get us another point for the guest spot / fandom spot on our wonderful little game here, the Robbie Ray spot. That's the default answer for our guest spot because of Chris Key. So anyway, gentlemen, anything you want to add to the show, any shout outs or anything you would like to do before we, you know, do our traditional, well, I'm going to say two claps and a Ric Flair and a Vlad dance tonight. So,
yeah, I have something. I was on Stadium Scene's show the other day. The episode hasn't been released, but they just celebrated 100 episodes. And I found out that I was the second person to ever sign up for them. Wow. I was also on there with the first. So we're bringing this full circle back to Jay Bird watching, and just a shout out to Stadium Scene. And once that episode is released, I'll be sure to retweet it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, they actually asked us to retweet out a bunch of stuff today about a new YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So there is some new fun stuff going at our friends over at Stadium Scene TV. And yeah, check them out. Enjoy. It's all sports all the time. That's the whole beautiful thing about it. So
Brendan, I have something to add. Get vaccinated, because
there you go.
It's messing shit up right now with the Yankees. And like, I've been keeping my eye on the Twitter sphere this entire episode. And my goodness, like, Aaron Judge is apparently the one that's involved, and he was the All-Star game. He was right by Mrs. Aaron, Billy Aaron, and like, it's possible, you never know, with the people that were there that were unvaccinated, that could become a super spreader event, the All-Star game. And if you want the
Blue Jays seat venue and all the other media and everything, that sounds like a fun time.
Yeah. And that certainly cements the Blue Jays are not getting government approval to play in Toronto starting July 30th. Tomorrow's the deadline for that homestand. The next would be for the August 20th series against the Tigers and the White Sox. But with this whole unvaccinated player wrinkle and COVID going around the Yankees clubhouse now, I'm having trouble thinking about getting back at any point now. Maybe the 20th, but you never know.
Not unless there's a drastic mind shift in players getting vaccinated.
Yeah, exactly.
To that point, I don't know if you've also been looking at the news today, but the state of California is going back to wearing masks.
Yes, indoors. Yeah, masks indoors.
So just to point that out, obviously, everybody, that is a quick solution to hopefully getting at least more things better in the win column, I'll say. So go out there, take the shot, take plunge.
Take a W, man.
Normal.
Yeah.
we need some more wins in life, period. Why make it hard on yourselves? So
also, the cell phone reception is fucking incredible.
Oh, my 5G has been awesome, man. I got my new phone and everything. The tumor is going great, you know.
Yeah, no big deal.
I'm getting all kinds of new rock stations on my antenna, just saying.
My antenna's growing out. Great. Great.
Don't mind the tail. Yeah. So, but anyway, Blue Jays fans, thank you very much for hopping in and listening to us tonight. And we had plenty of you chit-chatting with us this evening during our live recording. Gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong. Were we thinking next Thursday again?
Yes, probably. It's an off day.
I was looking at that. Yeah, they have an off day, right?
Yes, yeah.
Correct. Okay, so we will be recording with you guys next Thursday, which I believe is, just because I'm going to be this guy, is the 22nd. You know, a whole 7 days from today, which is the 15th. I should have just done the math in my head. Apparently, it's easier to look at the calendar. So, to me, you know, following the family motto there is no brains, no headache.
Yeah.
So, to that point, Blue Jays fans, we will be here to lead you live next Thursday. Join the conversation with the three of us. If we have any guests, obviously, you're more than welcome to obviously chat with them too. We are enjoying the feedback and whatnot that we had this evening. Some fun with trade talks and extra, you know, hyperbole with what could be the Blue Jays roster over the next few weeks. Until next time, guys, find us on your podcast, wherever you get your pleasures from, for on that whole deal. And fellas, ready to do this? Two claps and a Ric Flair, and let's go, Blue Jays.
Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays. There's the Vlad dance. Hashtag do a Vlad dance.